How many have had times in high school or middle school when you were in the right group or wrong place at the wrong time? Anyone out there? And how many have ever had your faith put under the spotlight? And what about in the workplace? Anyone else? Well, this evening as we look at Peter and Peter's denial, I think maybe there's a way that we can make a connection there for our own lives. We are in Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this evening. Well, Peter's road to denial. Oprah was fond of saying, denial is not just a river in Egypt. Right? So I don't know if you've had a moment in life where you sort of denied your faith or kind of, you know, harumped it or something, or simply didn't admit to or dismissed it in front of friends and those who might pressure you to do something otherwise, maybe something that wasn't right, or simply to ask you if you were a believer in Christ. And so I think it's often the case that when we look at Peter, the first thing we think about is Peter's denial, even after Jesus warned him not once, but that he would deny Christ three times, and Peter still denied Christ. Now, Peter also did a lot of amazing things. Peter, in the midst of the storm, was willing to get out of the boat in the wind and waves and said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And the Lord bid him, and Peter, you know, with his impetuous self, boldly jumped out of the boat, and he'd made it a few steps before he began to look at the wind and waves instead of looking at Jesus, and he began to sink before Jesus pulled him up out of the wind and waves. But all the other disciples were still in the boat, okay? And I think I would be there too, in the boat. So I don't know where you would be, whether in the boat or in the water. Peter was also the one on the day of Pentecost who would boldly proclaim the gospel on that day when the church was born and over 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. But here in this moment, we think about Peter's failings, Peter's shortcomings. But I think there's some truth here for all of us as we think about it this evening. And I think there's a sort of a progression that happens. And so the first thing, as we look at this story, just to recap it for a moment, Jesus has gone, after the Last Supper that he had with the disciples, Jesus has gone into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he took Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, with him, and he asked them to pray. And Jesus went a little further and began to pray. And as he did, prayed earnestly before the Father, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He prayed that the cup, if possible, might pass from him, "But not my will, but thine be done." And then he went back to disciples, those three, and found them sleeping and said, "Can't you pray with me?" And he bid them pray and then went back and prayed again, the same thing earnestly, we're told, so earnestly they had sweat like drops of blood on his skin, and then went back, found them sleeping again, went back to pray again, and then came back to find him sleeping again. Notice they were sleeping three times, okay? Once for each time that Peter might have avoided the denial, the failure, the stumble, the fall. And I think in our own lives, as we think about this season of Lent, we can think about how often we're really willing to pray and pray in earnest. Oftentimes, as I said before, that we are like Peter. We want to sleep instead of pray. And God would bid us to pray, not just for him and his work, but for us, that we stay strong in the faith. And then Judas has betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, as we look at our set this evening. And he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And we talked about how that sometimes we too have betrayed Jesus in our own way. And we looked at money or things more than Jesus and highlighted them more than our faith. And so the Roman soldiers take Jesus away, and we're told that all of the other disciples fled, but Peter followed at a distance. Well, the first thing to say is that you have to give Peter some credit. He at least followed, right? And all the disciples fled, or at least fled at a further distance than Peter. But I think that's important. The first step in the road to denial is that we develop distance. We develop distance from the Lord. And we're told that Peter followed from a distance rather than following with the Lord. And I think in our own lives, many times we develop more and more distance from God. Maybe it's the fact that we worship less frequently. And it doesn't matter whether we're in the house or online, it's still worship. And so what is the frequency with which we worship? And how about our early devotions? Are we drawing close to the Lord? In fact, we talk about it sometimes, about drawing close. Well, you kind of flip it around and talk about sort of drawing away from the Lord. What is the distance you have this evening from God? And then the second step, notice that Peter, we're told, was with the crowd warming himself around the fire. And it was a crowd of people who were basically there to see that Christ was crucified. It was the wrong crowd. And I think it reminds us that that's the second step, that we start hanging out with the wrong crowd. Now, as the youth demonstrated, a lot of times we want to be with the in crowd rather than maybe the right crowd, right? No one wants to be in the out crowd. But Peter was really literally hanging out with the wrong crowd around the fire, as we have here in this evening set. And he began to warm himself and be comfortable with them. He was sort of hiding, wasn't he? But he was still there with the wrong crowd. And I know in my own life, in chapters of my own life, in middle school or high school, we think about that the most, but it also happens in college. And frankly, it happens in the rest of life too. We think about, am I in the cool crowd or I am the out crowd, right? One of Savannah's favorite books and favorite movies is The Outsiders, right? And I don't know. I hope you've seen the movie or read the book or whatever. In fact, that was the first book after being a kid that she really, you know, sort of lit a fire, if you will, under her. And so, and then she saw the movie and all these cute guys. And then, yeah, it was definitely sold on that. But remember that you have the socias were the in group, the cool group, the wealthy group. And then you have the outsiders, the greasers, right? And then if you go to Greece, right, you have sort of the greasers, obviously, and you know, you have motorheads, and then, you know, the jocks, and, you know, the smart alecks or whatever, the mathletes, whatever. I mean, sometimes we have the cool people and the not-so-cool people, and we learn all the wrong things in that context, right, rather than accepting people. And so we are taught in a very real sense that we need to stand up for ourselves and stand up for what is right and stand up for our faith. And it's not always easy, right? I mean, there's some lessons that are learned, but Peter is hanging out with the wrong crowd, and that causes a problem, which is the next thing, is that he moves from distance to the wrong crowd to lying, which leads to denying. What does Peter say? It's like every time the intensity of the fire gets turned up that he's sitting around, right? So the first time, this gal comes up to him and says, weren't you one of him? And Peter just sort of sloughs it off. No, I wasn't one of them. And goes back to whatever he's doing, right? And then someone else comes up and said, well, wait a second. I think that you were, in fact, one of them. And the heat gets turned up a little bit more. And Peter turns up his lying a little bit more. No, I was not one of them. And then finally, about an hour later, when Peter's had a chance to mull over things, someone else comes up and says, you know what? You're a Galilean. You've got that Galilean accent. You are one of them. And Peter says, I never knew the man, right? And I think that's true in our own lives. Sometimes we begin to lie a little bit at a time. And that incremental lie, sometimes it's to ourselves first and then to others and more boldly, we begin to lie, and that lying leads to denying. And in that moment, of course, after Peter denies Christ, somehow Jesus was across the courtyard, and Jesus looked over at Peter, and they had that moment, and Peter's heart was broken because he remembered in that moment that Jesus had warned Peter that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed, and the rooster crowed. Well, I think that's interesting, isn't it? Peter goes out in the courtyard, and he weeps. He doesn't proclaim his faith. He's too scared, and who wouldn't be, frankly? They were going to crucify the Lord. Certainly the threat was there of that, and so Peter is afraid, as most of us would be. But I think in our own lives, many times we go on that same course of developing distance gradually, growing cold in our faith, more and more distance in our faith life, and then we hang out with the wrong crowd, become more comfortable with that, and then we begin to lie and finally to deny. And so I'd ask you this evening in a season of Lent to think about where you are in your faith life this evening. Are you growing closer to God, or are you growing further away? And then who are you hanging out with? Now, we all want to be lights that shine in the darkest night. As Jesus said, light on a hillside, not one that's hidden under a bushel. But we can either shine a light in darkness, but all of us need a moment when we are around those who will strengthen our faith, as many of you are here this evening and those who are online. And Lent's a season to do that. And then finally, are you beginning to lie to yourself about your faith and how close you are to God? Like Oprah said, denial is not just a river in Egypt. First thing is, we need to be truthful about ourselves. So what I would say is that we can all reverse the course even as Peter could, right? We can grow closer to God instead of further away. We can do that through worship and prayer, through our morning devotions, and then we can hang out with the right crowd that's going to nurture and encourage our faith, whether we're at school or whether we're at work or wherever we're going for coffee. We need to have time when we are lights in the world, but we also need to rekindle our faith. And then finally, we need to stand true to our faith. We need to stand up for what is right. The good news down the road, after the resurrection, and Peter has that initial moment with the other disciples and the risen Lord, Peter goes away. He goes back to what he knew best, which was fishing. And in fact, he fishes all night with some of the disciples. Don't you like some people at least hang out with you? And so we're told that Peter was in the boat with his friends. And I like that because at least Peter was hanging out with the right people. In fact, I like to think that the disciples went after Peter. They knew Peter was going through some stuff, right? Are you sensitive to what your friends are going through with their struggles or even when they fail, right? Do you run away or do you run towards them? And so the other disciples came around Peter, right? And they maybe didn't know the right thing to say, but they knew the best thing for them to do was to keep Peter from fishing alone all night. And so they went fishing with him, right? That can be a ministry. Ministry some of you might like to go fishing, right? And then after they've been fishing all night and hadn't caught a thing, we don't know what they talked about, but in the morning light, they saw someone on the shore. It was Jesus, and they weren't able to recognize him, maybe because the sun was shining behind them. But Jesus calls out to them and said, guys, have you caught anything? And they said, no, we fished all night. We haven't caught a thing. And then Jesus says, well, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Something they'd heard before, right? And they had the faith to do that. And when they did that, then all of a sudden, they caught an incredible catch of fish. Peter, in that moment, recognizes that it was Jesus, and so he jumps into the water and swims ashore, leaves his friends behind with fish, but that's okay. And then you can only imagine that Jesus embraced Peter in that moment, and Jesus is cooking fish and bread over a nice fire, and if you're a fisherman, that's the breakfast that you really want. And after Jesus gives them the bread and the fish that he has prepared for them, then Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me more than these? The fish, going back to fishing, the career in fishing. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And then Jesus looked at Peter again, right in front of all the other disciples who knew Peter had failed, and said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I do. And Jesus said, then feed my little lambs. And then Jesus looked at Peter again and said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, you know I do. And you know it had to be hard for him to say that. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. As if for every time that Peter had denied Christ and fallen and failed, Jesus wanted him to know that he was not only forgiven, but he was restored in his ministry. And I think Jesus would do the same for us. When we fall, as all of us do, I think Jesus comes looking for us. Jesus has already paid the price for our forgiveness. And Jesus calls to us in love. Jesus not only forgives us, but Jesus has something for each and every one of us to do. So this evening, in the season of Lent, where are you on the road to the cross? Wherever you are, no matter how distant you are, no matter what crowd, the wrong crowd you've been hanging with, and no matter the lies you may have been telling yourself or other people, Jesus calls us to come closer. And Jesus calls us to be with the disciples, even if we don't feel like one. And Jesus calls us to the truth, for he himself is the way and the truth and the life. And he, most importantly, is the one who's paid the price that we might know forgiveness and God's grace. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this moment in Peter's life, a moment that had to crush him in so many ways, our hearts go out to Peter, even as your heart went out to Peter. And we're so thankful that you reached out and showed Peter your forgiveness and grace and love, and you restored him as well as forgave him. But we're also thankful that you call to us in love when we fall and falter along life's way and fail even in the worst ways. And you come to us, even as you did Peter, with words of forgiveness and grace and restoration. So today, help us to redouble our faith life in the season of Lent. Help us to grow closer, not further away. Help us to learn to hang out with the right crowd. And Lord, help us to be true to you and true to your word. In Christ's name, in August, people said, amen.